That's what it is.
Okay, we're on lesson 38, Romans 5, 9 through 11. And we're looking at verse 9, much more than. In A, he's saying it's much more reasonable to expect that God's elect will be loved by him because there are fewer obstacles blocking his love toward us. He's saying if when we were enemies, he overcame all that was in the way of our salvation. Much more have we reason to expect that he will afford us protection now that we are his friends. And this is the ground of all hope, Paul expressed in Romans 5:5, which says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Number two, in the next section of verse 9, the apostle lays out the fruit of God's love. Having now been justified, that is the fruit of God's love. According to the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, in theology, the term justified means to pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. Merited punishment means punishment that we deserve. What Paul is saying is that the child of God went from being an enemy of God to being accepted as his friend. Question number one, have you or someone you know experienced enemies becoming friends? Anybody done that? Anybody have an enemy that turned out to be their friend? Pete? Steve. Steve, close.
I did, but I was really not.
You what?
I was like 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
Somebody that I fought with constantly in my neighborhood became my best friend.
Is that right? As a kid, you mean?
As a kid.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? You ever have somebody that was your enemy that you turned out that turned out to be your friend?
Yeah.
Yep. You too.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually, when the kids get into a fist fight with somebody, you turn out to be your friend. I had a guy that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's quite common. It's really quite common in life that happens. That we have people that are hostile to us, or we're hostile to them. And what ends up happening is we somehow. You need one more, I guess, right? It happens where the hostility ends, and we actually will form a relationship with them. It's not uncommon. It's not an uncommon thing.
I remember Pastor, when I'm going out in a vehicle, they tried to get me fired a lot. I just hated doing the work, and they just hated me because of being a Christian. They didn't realize that, but they would just treat me just terrible, and they would bring customers behind and. Try to get them to write things against me, and that's against the law, but I didn't know that. So I remember one time I went in the office and I said to her, her name was Carol. Matter of fact, she went to church here. I said, can I ask you a question? Why do you treat me so horribly? And she goes, I don't know. And I says, I do. I says, there's two spirits in the world, you know that? And she knew I was a Christian. And she goes, what are you talking about? There's the Holy Spirit and there's the Spirit of Antichrist. One is controlling you. Later on, the assistant to her, she was even worse. I remember one time I was in her place waiting on customers. All of a sudden she came up and gave me a kiss on the cheek. She says, I just got saved at Friendship Baptist Church. Harvest Baptist Church. I looked at her, and the other one got saved too. They were both my enemies. Huh. But I don't have been saved that long, you know. Mm. And I follow the verse, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
You know. And I was just so amazed at that God really showed me that verse works, you know.
Well, when you said that she came here, it obviously was before I was here.
Probably just before. Yeah. Our band and everything played down here. We played a couple of times out in the park over there, you know, and she was the one that got us in here. Mm-hmm. If I met your major, probably you'd probably know.
Yeah, her, that's so. Okay.
But anyway, and another time, I don't mean to keep going, but another time I remember when I first got saved, I had a little job driving a truck to different places that had sandwiches and, you know those
drinks. Drinks, yeah.
And I remember catching a guy always stealing from me, you know, like a little candy bar or something, because they had a little mirror that you could see down the side of the truck. And I looked at this, man, and this guy would treat me horrible, you know, and I try to be nice. And that's when I read that, earlier, be not overcome with evil, overcome. So I said, I'm going to try. So I was so nice to him, you know, and he just couldn't believe it, you know. And I said, by the way, if you ever want something, you don't have to take it. I'll give it to you. You know, and he was shocked that I knew it, you know. So the next week I went and he had a haircut. And I went, boy, that haircut looks really good on you, you know. The next day, the next time I went there, he came up, gave me a hug. He was so nice to me.
Shows you the Bible works. It really works. Yeah, amen. Amen. Okay. A, once again, we're on page 3, right? Oh, page 2. Let me do that. What page are we on? 2, right?
So now we have the end.
Yeah, 2. Okay. So.
Yeah, page 3.
No.
No, got to be 2. Bring the 3. Keep the 3s and Vinny, come here. I'm going to give you the 2s. Raise your hand if you need a 2. Boy,
is that kind of thing
for who?
For everybody. This hurricane. And everything else.
I just look at that as part of the deal. Well, I just.
It's part of the deal. It's part of the week.
That's what?
It's still part of the week, though.
That's true. Page 2. Can we have some down here, Benny? Oh, they're coming?
Yeah,
okay. Let's try it again. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. The next section of verse 9 tells us how we are justified. We're justified, what it says, is by his blood. By the way, I want to ask you something. When the Bible refers to the blood of Christ, what is that referring to? What is that, a metaphor, or is it real, or what does it mean? Your choice. The blood of Christ. What does it mean? In speaking of it in this sense of being justified by the blood of Christ. What does that mean, though? Boom. Died. Whenever you read that about the blood, it's always referring, it's a metaphor in a sense for his death. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, and even in that verse, without death. Remember, if we look at Romans 6, let's turn there real quick. Romans 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? No. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? The blood is the death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when we were baptized into his death, his death was real. Just the same way that your death to this world is real. That's an important distinction to keep in mind. Just as he died and was raised, when you sit up in a baptismal, what that means is that's you before you were in Christ. When you go under, that's the symbol of your death in Christ, with Christ. And when you're raised, it's the symbol of your resurrection in Christ, with his resurrection. But in a real sense, every single born-again Christian is dead to the old life, the old man, dead to the world, that you are now a new creature in Christ. And that's an important distinction that a lot of Christians don't adhere to, but it's something that they should adhere to.
Galatians 2:20.
Yes, there you go. Galatians 2:20, who knows what it says?
For I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Boom. And that is the new you. So you, in your death, both your spiritual death is represented in Christ's death, but your physical, your spiritual death to this world and to the old self is done as well. As a matter of fact, look at we're in chapter 6, look at 5. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now what that means is that once you're born again, that you are no longer under the bondage of sin. I think it says it here a little further down, that you're no longer under bondage to sin. Now when you sin, it isn't because you're bound to it, it's because you choose it. Important distinction. That's why the Bible says we're not to practice sin. Because if we practice sin, then the love of God isn't in us, which simply means that you haven't been regenerated. Because the regenerated person will sin, but they won't make it a practice day after day after day after day. They just won't do it. Everybody get it? And then it says, the fact that we are purchased by his blood and sanctified by it renders us sacred in the eye of God. Let's look at Ezekiel 19:6. Ezekiel 19:6. Peter. I wish you would.
On that day I raised my hand and an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands.
That's not right. That's not right. 19:6.
Ezekiel 26. He moved among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey and devoured man.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Ezekiel? Maybe it's not Ezekiel.
I thought we were all going to learn something really interesting.
Yeah. Well, maybe 1 Peter 2:9 will do it. Wow, that I don't know where I got that.
Who was he speaking about in that situation?
Ezekiel?
That's what I thought. I didn't know where the context was.
The parable of the lions. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. Try that one, Peter. Oh, I know that one, yeah. 2:9. Here it goes. I don't know where I got that from. Ezekiel 19:6. Huh?
1 Peter 2:9.
Right after James.
If you are chosen, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay. What was that?
I read the whole chapter there just trying to figure out the context. 6 is actually about Moses. Ezekiel, yeah. It's just an interesting verse.
Let's look at Revelation 26. Joe. 20, verse 6. Chapter 20, verse 6. I'm not doing too well tonight.
Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years.
Okay, anybody see that? We are the Lord's inheritance, the Bible says. So in other words, we are very special people in his eyes. And one of the problems that Christians have, believing Christians have, is that they don't realize who they are in Christ. They don't realize the significance, we'll never really totally realize it, but the significance of how much God loves us, that he would do all the things that he did just to save us. And the reason is because many people have a bad opinion of themselves anyway. I know when I got saved, the thing that I kept thinking about all night long was Christ dying for me. I could not understand why anybody would do that for me. Just never, it just bothered me. And when you realize what was done for you, although it's infinite and your mind is finite, you can still use that backdrop and understand that Jesus was God. I mean, he played out in your head. I mean, he lowered himself. The angels serve him. They are his servants. And we are even lower than them. And yet he was willing to become a man. And I got to tell you something. None of the angels understood salvation. They looked into it. And one of the passages says that they looked into salvation. And the reason was, I sometimes play this out of my mind. I say, well, you know, one day Jesus just went down and they saw him become a baby. And they probably, you know, they went out and they must have known something because they sang glory, peace on earth, goodwill towards them who find favor with God. All of that stuff went on. But to them, it was unheard of before the event because he never died for them. The angels that fell from God had no salvation whatsoever. And when you think about that and you think about their power and their beauty and how holy they were in heaven, and yet when they fell, that's it, they're gone. There was nothing. But when you and I fall, when you and I, we came into this world fallen and we lived our lives as sinners and until he called us, but yet he sent his son to be like us and to call us. Never get over that idea. I mean, just never get over the fact that you were so special in God's eyes that, first of all, he made you at exactly the right time. He made you who you are. He gave you everything that you have or not have, whatever the case, one talent or ten, all of that simply because he loved you. That's an awesome thought. I mean, some days, if you ever have a bad day going on, just think about that. Just think about what God did for each and every one of us. It's an amazing thing. B, talking about his blood. It bestows a value on us. Here's a key working word here. Proportionate to the worth of the price of our redemption. What does that mean? The value of us, of the blood, was in proportion to the worth of the price of our redemption. Take a shot at it.
That's kind of like our, to give us our trespasses, we forgive those and such.
No. Andrew, what do you think?
Just like you were saying, we don't realize what we are in his eyes and that the value that we have is equivalent to the death.
Boom, boom. In other words, when you think about Jesus's blood or his death being necessary, not just to save Israel, but to save generation upon generation of Christians, the value of that blood is seen in its efficacy, what it can do. And and then on top of just saving you, it's there to cleanse you when you sin. It's there, to wash away your sins, as it were. Okay, so the value of it is beyond anything we can comprehend. I remember I was watching a Science Channel one night, and they said that there are asteroid